Let us begin. We're up to Perek Lamed Beis, Pasik Chaf. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasik Chaf, the part we are in the middle of the Tefillah of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, this is a momentous event. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyah that I want you to purchase a field from your relative, and I want you to do this publicly to show your faith that even though shortly there will be a Churban and you will all go into Galus, good days are yet to come. Good days are yet to come, and 70 years from now there will be a return. And being that this was a momentous event, he used this opportunity to be mispalel to Hashem. And it's a very long tefillah. We're in the middle of the tefillah. A lot of mafarsh, they read a lot of things into the tefillah. It's a little bit complex, so I'm not going to go into all the ideas. I don't know them. But this tefillah is in response to other things that are happening at the time. But let's just finish the tefillah first. Pasuk Chaf, Asher Samta. These people can read very easily. Asher Samta, Oysa Samovsin B'Yeretz Mitzrayim Al Hayom Hazeh. Hashem, you have done, you have set signs and wonders in Mitzrayim until this day, Uvi Yisrael, Uvi Adam, and in Klal Yisrael, and in man. Ta'aseh Lecha Hashem Kayom Hazeh, and you have made for yourself a reputation like this day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, you are the Kol Yachal. This continues the theme we learned yesterday, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are a creator, that you created the Shemayim Ba'aretz. You are aware of every little detail that occurs in the Shemayim Ba'aretz. Your eyes are opened to see what's happening, and you punish wicked people and you reward tzaddikim according to their deeds. And you have done here, it just says, you've done miracles in Mitzrayim, and you've created for yourself Hashem's reputation that is known throughout the world like it is today. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Atayitzei Es Amcha Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. You took out your people, Klal Yisrael, from the land of Mitzrayim, Ba'oisois Uv'mayfsim Uv'yot Chazakov Uv'ezroya Nituya Uv'mayro Gadol, with signs, wonders, a strong hand, outstretched arm, and great awe. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vatiti Lohem Es Aretz Hazos Asher Nishbat La'avosam Lo Seis Lohem. You have given them this land which you promised to their forefathers to give to them, Eretz, land, Zavas, Cholav Advash. Vayavohu, and they have come, by Yeshua Osa, they have come, they have entered the land, and now he now begins to begin all the parts of where Klal Yisrael was unfaithful to Hashem. They did not listen to your command, they did not walk in the ways of your Torah. Everything that you commanded them to do, they did not do. And therefore, as a punishment, you caused Osam Eis Kol Horah Hazos, you caused that should come upon them all of the evil that we suffer from today. Now, before we go inside, I'll tell you one word over here, and that's the word Vatakrei. Vatakrei here is spelled with an Aleph. Vatakrei comes from the word Mikra. Mikra means it's just a chance, a coincidence. And here Yirmiyah is saying that nothing happens by coincidence, even though it seems all of these events are happening by coincidence. The Churban is coming about. It's not an accident.
How does coincidence figure?
Mikra. No, that's what I'm saying. It does not. The way you really spell Mikra is with a hey. Mikra, the correct way to spell Mikra is with a hey, and that means a coincidence. When you change the hey to an aleph, that has a connotation of kira, or by yikra, to call out. It's a speech. There is a direct communication between one party and the other party. We have this with Yaakov Avinu. Heosu v'agidu lechem eis asher yikra eschem b'acharis hayomim. There it should have been spelled with a hey, but it doesn't. It's spelled with an aleph. It seems there's a grammatical error. There's an error. It's not the way you spell it. So the Mefarshim explain, it's exactly the point. Mikra with a hey is a chance. It's an accident. It's just a coincidence. Mikra with an aleph means a calling. It's a speech. Everything is done with, there's a divine reason. There's a master plan. So what appears to be, oh, Shalom Aleichem, look who's back. Welcome back. What appears to be an accident really is something that is very specific. There is a divine calling. There is hashkacha pratis that is involved in what happens. So that takrei oisam, that's why, so that, and therefore Yaakov Avinu says to Klal Yisrael, gather around me. Let me tell you about all of the things that are going to happen. All of the things that are going to happen, b'acharis hayamim, may appear to the naked eye as nothing more than a coincidence. So coincidence, this nation rise to power, this event happens, this politician gets in, this event happens, it's all a big coincidence. And we find ourselves in a situation that we never imagined we would be in if we were going back years ago. But it's, Yaakov Avinu is telling them it's not so. Everything that's going to happen is going to be as if the Kadosh Baruch Hu is calling, is directing the shots. Don't, he doesn't say Eish HaYikar with a hey, but he says Eish HaYikar with an aleph. Kirah, to call out. Here as well, Yirmiyah says exactly the same thing. Klal Yisrael have done averos, and due to the averos, there are now terrible things are happening. They did not do. And therefore, it's going to happen to them. It's going to be called upon them. Literally, it means it's going to happen to them. But really, we're reading vatakrei with the aleph. It means it's going to cause. You're going to command, osam, upon them. Ace kol harohazos. All of this evil. All of these horrible tragedies. Okay, let's see over here. Pasikhov. Rabbi Nechemi, welcome back. Pasikhov. Pasikhov in the Mitzudos Tavit. Ad Hayom Hazeh. So Ad Hayom Hazeh means you've put upon them the Oisos and Movsim, all the witnesses, and Hazeh return to Lamar, and it's Kodem Ad Hayom Hazeh, all of the miracles that happened in the Klal Yisrael that have happened until this point in time. Uvi Yisrael, Uvi Adam, Musav Al Asher Sam to Oisos and Movsim, Lamar, Sham to Oisam be Yisrael, you put them upon the Jewish people, Vashar B'nei Adam, Heim HaMitzrim. You put the good things upon Klal Yisrael, the bad things upon the Egyptians. Return to Leimar. Bapam achas osisa moifes tov lezeh v'ra lezeh. Kinyin shenemar v'hi ha'onu v'achoshech v'ayor es ha'loyla she'achoshech l'mitzrayim v'oyro li'Yisrael. So this is a concept, this is a very popular concept in the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that one event serves both as a punishment for one and a reward for the other. The classic example was the water. The water, the Mayim, when Moshe struck the Nile, so the water turned into blood. It was only blood for the Egyptians, but it was water for Klal Yisrael. The pillars of clouds, they were a source of light for Klal Yisrael, but a source of darkness for the Umos, for the Mitzrayim. And that's exactly what he writes. He reads here into this pasikhov. You've done osos umovsim be'eretz Mitzrayim aleim hazeh uvi Yisrael uva adam. That the signs that you've set, it's the same sign. It was good for Klal Yisrael, but harsh for Mitzrayim. Okay, let's go to the next words. Vatas l'chashem pirsam l'shevach. You've made for yourself a reputation. The whole world today acknowledges that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Many people choose to ignore Hashem, but it's undeniable. Kayayim Hazeh, Hincha Noda Umufursum L'Shevach. You are known and you are famous for good. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Uve Ezroya Netuya, with the outstretched arm. Ochas B'Moshel Megibor Hanoite Biyodei Almish Nulcham Bo. This is just a metaphor. Hashem is not. Does not have any human characteristics. We just refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu as if he does, in order for we can understand. Uvim Bayra Gadol, with great awe. Shehayisa Ma'ayim al Mitzrayim, you terrify the Egyptians, and you brought us to Eretz Yisrael, which is a land that is Zavas Cholav Dvash, Eretz Zavash, vehi Eretz Asher Cholav Noitef Midadi HaBehemos. The milk drips from the udders of the animal. Ki yiru mireh shamein v'chelbam rav. They pasture in fat land, and there's much fat. V'chelbam rav, and by pasturing in good, delicious meadows, it causes them to produce milk, and the milk drips as they walk along. V'hatamarim noitfim hadvash, and the dates also, likewise, they drip with honey. So he's telling us over here that the flowing of zavas, it's an important, it's not so easy to find a good interpretation of what it means, a land that flows with cholav udivash. The flowing of cholav udivash are the cows, they're dripping with milk, and the honey is dripping from the dates. The word zavas is applied to both the cholav and the dvash. Okay, pasuk chaf gimel. Uve soyrascha. Here, Yirmi is coming to acknowledge the guilt of Klal Yisrael. They did not walk in the ways of Torah. And therefore, Vatakrei Oysan, you brought upon them. And we explained it to mean that you command it. Ulechein heveso aleihem mikro horo hazos. This, he here noticed that the Mitzudos is spelling the word vatakre with a hey. You brought upon them this great tragedy. Hamufurish b'mikro shel achrav. That it begins to specify in the next pasuk. The next pasuk tells us that the enemy is here at our gates. There is a siege and the defeat of the city is imminent. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk chaf. Uv Adam, Bishar Anashim, other people. If you know to go back to Pasuk Chaf, it says really three categories. It says you've set Osos Umovsim in Eretz Mitzrayim, Ad Hayom Hazeh, Uv Yisrael, so that's Egypt, Klal Yisrael, and then it says Uv Adam. So what is the significance of Adam? Who is the Adam? So Mitzudos really, if I'm not mistaken, did not, he just said Bishar B'nei Adam Heim HaMitzrim. If you go back to the Mitzudos for one moment, he says that when it says Adam, that refers to the Egyptians. So there's a little bit of repetition because it says Samta Osos Umovsim, the Eretz Mitzrayim, Ad Hayom Hazeh. In Eretz Mitzrayim, you set the signs and wonders. And who did these signs and wonders? Who were the recipients of these signs and wonders? Uvi Yisrael, Uva Adam. Klal Yisrael and the Egyptians. So we discussed the land where the event occurred and who were the people that received these Osos Umovsim, Klal Yisrael and the Egyptians. Rashi differs. Rashi says Bishodam Ubishor Anoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles in Egypt, and after we left Egypt, throughout history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done miracles and brought punishment and reward to other nations of the world.
Is that what it means? Or is he just, because Israel is also, could also be included in Adam, he's just...
Okay, but that's not what he says in Rashi. Rashi says, Uvi Yisrael, Uva Adam. Who is the Adam? Mitsudo says, it's other. Mitzrayim. And Rashi says, Bishor Anoshim. Who are the other people? Whoever, throughout history. The Canaanim, the people in the desert, which start up with the Amalekim, the other people, that's what Adam here means in this pasuk. Dover Acher, now he says the interpretation of Rash, of Mitzudos. Adam here refers to Klal Yisrael, and the pasuk ends as Mitzrayim, and it's juxtaposed to the word Yisrael to teach us that the same exact sign that affected one affected the other in the opposite way. Exactly what the Mitzudos says. Dover Acher, also, Shahayu Shekulim Li Yisrael Ulim Mitzrayim. The same exact sign was like on a scale, was weighed for both the Egyptians and for Klal Yisrael, Ketzad, Vayihi He'anon V'Hachayshech, Vayoher Es Haloyla. Also, Mazel Sheshimesh Choyshech Li Mitzrayim. This.
No, it's, but it's the same. The same instrument was used.
Okay.
So that shows that it's divine.
Exactly.
The same phenomenon produced
two opposite results. Exactly. That's what shows that it's divine. That was the idea that Rashi, that the Mitzudos brought out, which is a very deep idea, and it's discussed at great length by the Mefarshim in Chumash Shemos, is that to show that something is divine, where one thing happens, it's good for one person, and it's painful for someone else. This is a sign that it's minashman, because by human beings, it's not possible. An evil man gets his punishment, and a tzaddik receives reward. The reward you give the tzaddik is not the reward you give the tzaddik is not the punishment you give the rush. It's entirely two separate things. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can do one ma'isa, and that one ma'isa serves as a punishment to the rasha and a reward to the tzaddik. So Dover Acher, Oitzos Shahayu Shukulim Lishol Mitzrayim Ketzad Vayi Ha'on V'Achayshech. There was a cloud, and there was darkness. But yet Vayoher Es Haloyla, the very same cloud that produced darkness for the Egyptians, the Ha'on V'Achayshech would produce darkness. It was Vayoher Es Haloyla. Also, Mazel Sheshimesh Choyshech LeMitzrayim, Shimesh Or LeYisrael, Medrash Agad. Very interesting idea. They say this about Gehenna.
He doesn't know the source, the Midrashic source for this.
For this concept.
This is that Yom Suf we're talking about.
The Kriyas Yom Suf. Yeah, this idea. Okay. No, they say there's a joke. The joke is that what exactly is Gan Eden and Gehenna? So the answer is, if you go of a person in this world, he comes to appreciate the chashivas of Torah, and he works on Torah. He works on learning Torah, understanding Torah. So he has pleasure. learning, deriving pleasure from Torah is an acquired, an acquired taste. It does not happen on its own. It's no different than being a connoisseur on wine. Okay, if you give a person like me two glasses of wine, one some Ketan grape juice, and another glass of wine from a $1,000 bottle of wine that's been aged and stored in oak barrels in some remote part of the world, and you'll give me both of these things to drink, I won't know the difference. I'll probably tell you the grape juice tastes better than $1,000 glass of wine. That's the reality. It takes a lot of skill, a lot of effort in order to come to appreciate the quality of wine. We all understand this. Everything is like this. One is a simple example. So it's the same exact thing when it comes to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, the more you exert yourself, the more you work, the more you come to appreciate and derive pleasure from the words of Torah. But if a person lives his entire life and just ignores the study of Torah, it's boring. Not only is it boring, it's almost torture to go to a shir and hear someone say novel ideas when you have absolutely no appreciation. So they say, the joke is that exactly is what Gehenna and Gan Eden is. After this world, everyone goes to shir. In the Olam HaEmes, everyone sits by a very, very long shir. For the Talmidei, the same shir. For the Talmidei Chachamim, they have pleasure because they have trained themselves to enjoy, to understand the yoifi, the beauty of the words of Torah. But for the Rishoyim, or for people who never spent one day studying Torah, they have no appreciation. So it's boring. And the boredom is torture. And that torture is what Gehenna is. It's all a scent. It's a feeling of pain. Okay, so let's now go to the next words in the Rashi. Vatikra osam hikresa osam loshon mikra. So notice the difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, like what I told you before, what it says by Parshas by Yaakov Avinu. Let me tell you what's going to happen. A mikra, yet it's spelled with an aleph. The Mitzudos, if you look in the Mitzudos, go back in Vatikra, L'chein ha'avos aleim, mikra horo hazos. Mikra means an accident, this terrible event. Rashi says it's true, the word mikra means an event, but it's spelled here with an aleph. And when there is an aleph, the shorish is kriya, calling, speaking. Nothing happens by accident. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating every single event for His reasons. Hikreisa oisam l'shoin mikra. It means, hikreisa oisam, that when you have, well, you know, l'shoin mikra, he says, hey, mikra, it's an accident. Okay, hikreisa, you brought upon them. It is interesting that the art scroll, so far, we didn't do the Radak yet. I don't remember what the Radak says. We'll get that in a moment. But art school here says everything that you commanded. No, You caused. So you cause all this evil to befall them. So it doesn't really get into the issue. It doesn't say that you called to them. All right, so we'll leave it with the idea that we brought out before. Let's now look at the Radak. Starting with Pasuk Kof. The Radak says, Ad hayom hazeh perish, ad hayom hazeh heim yiduim bibnei adam. All of your miraculous deeds are known to mankind. Uvi Yisrael, uva Adam, uvi Yisrael, oisa oisa sumosim, uvi shor bnei Adam bavur Yisrael. Here the Radak seems to learn ushor bnei Adam is not referring to the Egyptians, but rather he's referring to other people in the world. Vatase lecha shem, and by doing these miraculous deeds, you have earned for yourself Hashem a reputation. And therefore people know who you are against whether they like it or not. Then he quotes the second interpretation, was with Rashi's second interpretation with the parish of the Mitzudos, is that Adam refers to the Egyptians. And what it means over here is you've done one act, and one action is both a mirror, is both a punch and a reward for both. For the Egyptians, it was dark. For Klal Yisrael, it was light. Also, mazel shashimish choshech lemitzrayim shimish or li Yisrael. Period. The innocent here game li Yisrael avadata perishon begoy bnei enosha. I do not know what that means. Okay, I have to really prepare more of the I got a new sefer actually to help me with some of the Targum. It's like a dictionary on Targum. It's a new dictionary on Targum. Maybe we'll bring it in. It'll be we can do it on the spot sometimes to get a better interpretation of some of these words. All right, let's now go. Okay, next word is pasuk chaf aleph in the Radak. Vatotze, you took them out. Vatotze, and you took them out of Egypt, and you brought them uve ezroya nituya. Now the word uve ezroya be aleph nosefes me osios amitin. Okay, so we have over here, an extra aleph. We would normally expect to say uviz roya, but yet over here there's an extra aleph. The extra aleph is paired for whatever reason. Pasuk chagimel vayavo vayirshu biyud biyud eson levad. Okay, pasuk chagimel says you brought them vayirshu. The yirshu is biyud eson levad. I don't know what that means. The yud hashoresh nalemes be'amichtav. The yud of the shoresh is Bia. Okay, Bia, there should be a Yud between the Beis and the Aleph. I guess that's what he means. The way you spell Bia means Beis, Yud. No, I'm not sure. Beis, Yud, Aleph, Hey. Beis, Yud, Aleph, Hey, Bia. So that Yud is missing, and instead we have the Yud, a son, Levad. I'm not sure what that means. The Yud, Hasharish, Nelemis, Naksaf. Let's go further. Uvisoy Rascha, cost of the Sakriv Chsiv, it says Uvisoy Rascha, but it's spelled with an extra, the Vav out of order. The Vav is out of order. Kosov, Vuhu Derech Prat Al HaToyres. Vukare Uvisoy Rascha Derech Klal. It's written in Beloshon Yachid, and we read it in Beloshon Rabbim, Ki Kol HaTorah Achas, because the entire Torah is considered one Torah. Okay, that takrei min ki hikra Hashem elokecha v'kasa of aleph b'makom hey. This means an accident, and it's spelled with a hey when it really should be spelled with a hey. The amar kain, and here what is the drush? Lehoidia ki hamikra hara habolchem enin mikra gamur habol me'elav elohu yispar hikra oisa. The reason why it's spelled with an aleph is to indicate what we mentioned already a few times, is that nothing in this world happens by accident. Everything is part of Hashem's master plan, and when an event happens, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing right there, and he's directing, he's calling, this should happen for a divine reason. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Now, next pasuk, he says, Hine hasolilos bohu hoyir. Now he describes the tragedy. We are in a very bad state. Yirmiyah tells Klal Yisrael, go look outside your window. Outside your window, you will take note that we are under siege. It's already the second year of the siege. And the enemy has built a ramp. The way you protect yourself in a siege is having a very tall wall. But if the enemy is able to build a ramp, they can climb over the wall. It takes a long time for the enemy to build these ramps. So the ramps have now been built. Hine hasolilos bohu'ir. The ramps have come to the city. L'lachta, the people who build the ramps, they have arrived at the city to capture it. V'ir nitana, and the city has been given. B'yad hakastim hanilchamim oleha. B'nei hachenev v'harov v'hadever. Because of the chevet, the reason why they're going to succeed is because of the sword, the famine, the plague. Yasher dibarta hoya, what Hashem, what you have spoken, hoya v'hin choroyeh, what Hashem has said will come, has come, and you can see it with your own eyes, that the prediction of what's going to happen to the city indeed has come about. Pasuk next, pasuk v'yato amart elai. Now Yirmiyah concludes the prophecy. He says, you, Hashem, said to me, Hashem Elokim, you, Ve'ato Amarti Elai Hashem Elokim. You, Hashem Elokim, said to me, "Kedei Lecha Asada, buy the Sada B'Kesef, V'Ho'ed Edim, and sign witnesses, V'Ho'ir Nitna B'Yad Kastim, and the seal will be given in the hands of the Kastim." Okay, so let's see these Pesukim in the Parashim to the Sada Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Hinei Hasala. Behold, Ki Hinei Anshei Hamelchama Ha'imdim Al Hasalais Lilcha Mimena. The people of the army, the enemy that stands upon the ramps to fight, to go to war against it. Hinei kvar bo alo ir lelachta. They have already arrived at the city to conquer it. Uchilu kvar nidna biyadam. It's as if it has already been given over into their hands. That it's imminent. The defeat is imminent. We can write about this in the past tense. Ki ein koch biyad anshei ha'ir la'akev al yadam. It is impossible for the people in the city to prevent what is about to happen. Ki sofu tamu. They will be destroyed. Mibnei hacherev v'hara'ah v'hadever due to the sword, the famine, and the plague. V'asher dibarto me'oz shetilaket ha'ir. This that you Hashem have predicted in the past that the city will be conquered. Hinei kein haya. What you predicted has come about. V'hin charoye shekein hu. And you can see with your eyes that indeed shekein hu, that what you have predicted indeed has happened. Pasuk chafei v'yato amarto return aloymar. And you have said, Umaza Sher Hoida Hoidatani Mibias Hanamel. Why did you Hashem tell me that Hanamel is coming to sell his field to me? Uchilu Omar to Li, it's as if you said to me, Bize Sheekne Mimenu Hasode. It's as if you told me, when you told me that Hanamel is coming, you were giving me instructions that I should not just listen to his offer, but I should purchase the field, ulahazmin edim, and to arrange and designate witnesses, kiderech hakoinim, v'cho'ir, v'halecho'ir nidna b'yadakastim. So he's asking a question, Yirmiyah, why in the world would you want me to go and buy the field when the field, the city, is about to be destroyed? V'ma imkein to'elas b'kniyas hasadeh, elo, why in the world would you, Hashem, command me to purchase the field when we look outside our window, we see the city has been conquered, is captured by the Kastim, and they're going to take the field? So even though the Metzudos is asking, but we already know the answer to this. This was an act of faith. And he already told this to Baruch ben Iriah a few psukim ago. Hine ze omar bimachshavos libo v'lo be bosehu hanavua al ze kamar shakosov. That was said from his own thoughts, but it was not said explicitly. So I guess here in the tefillah he's just coming. He's coming to question Hashem. It seems over here that even though it's true before that he told Baruch ben Iriah, that was his own idea. That was his novel interpretation. But he's still asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I guess he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he was correct in his assessment that you want me to buy the field and to do an act of faith to encourage Klal Yisrael that the Golus, that the Gula will come in 70 years. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Chavdal, it says, V'asher dibarto ro'o oleho ki uba. This that you predicted that evil will come has come. V'ir nitna. He's questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you want me to buy the field if this is going to be destroyed? The sodalites are pieces of wood that it's like a slingshot, a catapult. So the Radak disagrees with Rashi, with the Metzudos. It does not mean a ramp. The Metzudos clearly says the word soilolois is a ramp. If you look in the Metzudos Tzion, he makes it clear, tell ha'ofar, she'shayfchem mul ho'ir, la'alois, olecho li'lochim alo'ir kuya soilolah. He disagrees, the Radak, and he says the soilolah is some type of catapult, some type of instrument that was used to go and throw missiles, to throw stones over the city. To hit the people inside the city. The Targum learns like what we learned in the Mitzudos, that it is a ramp. To ascend on this ramp to the wall. It means also, I don't know what that means, but it means something to do with a ramp. Okay, now before we go further, there's a very interesting halacha in Masechta, I think it's Masechta Bava Basra, if I'm not there, it's somewhere else. And the Gemara there says that if a person sells his field, you don't have to give kesef. You can write a shtar. Now, I don't know the exact details, but it's something along these lines. When a person makes a transaction, there is always a suspicion that he's not sincere. In fact, Chazal said that me'ikar hadin, really, ideally, if two people get together and they speak to each other, they say, you know what, I want to sell you my field, and the other one says, I want to buy it. So mi'ikar hadin, the transaction should be complete just through this conversation. No action needs to take place whatsoever. I want to sell it. Would you like to buy it? And you say, yes, I want to buy it. That's it. The transfer has occurred. The buyer is now the legal
owner. Price is irrelevant?
And we'll come to a price. We'll discuss a price later on. Let's say we agree on a price. Let's say I'm selling the field for $1,000. And the person, I want it. I'm in. I want it. Me'ikar hadin, it should be that the transaction is complete. The buyer becomes the legal owner of this property and nothing more needs to be done. This is what should be true according to the letter of the law. Why is that not so? Because
protection.
People, not more protection, because people are not sincere. Because we don't really know. Just because the person says he wants to sell it, maybe he's selling it because he had a bad day, he's in a bad mood. Or maybe because he made a mistake, he's under the wrong impression that it's a good thing to sell. And when the buyer says he wants to buy, maybe it's because he thinks that he has the money in the bank. Little does he realize that he doesn't have all that much money, he needs more to survive. So being that there's always a question, there's always a suspicion that there is a lack of sincerity, there has to be an action, a maisa, which overrides any lack of sincerity. Even though you may have been insincere, if you go through with an action of making a transaction, automatically you're at a point where it's beyond return. The transaction is complete. So the Gemara says there are exceptions to this rule. Very interesting exceptions. For example, a chosan and kala. If you have a chosan and kala get engaged, and the parents, they come together, the parents of the chosan and the kala, they come together, and they're like tanoim, and they say, we have a young couple here, they don't make parnasa, so we have to provide, set up a house, provide for them. So what are you going to do? Flop. I'll take care of this, and this, and this. And the other one says, I'll take care of this, and this. And they come to an agreement what each side will do for the chosan kala. The Gemara says that mi'ikradin, you do not need to make a transaction. Heim dvarim haniknim bi'amira. Just the words alone, the arrangement between the chosan kala, the parents chosan kala, automatically, it's complete. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Why? Because the simcha that the parents have, that their zoicha to marry off their children, their son and daughter are engaged, is so great. We chazal we yerlis of daito shel adam, that they have definite gemira stas, that they're sincere in what they're going to do for the chosan kala. Okay, so that is one example. Another example is when a person sells a field mipnei ra'asa. A person is selling his field because, come on, no, nothing left. Okay. A person, you take this, you want to take this? A person is selling a field mipnei ra'asa, meaning it's in a dire state. A person is in a very bad financial situation. It's public knowledge that he's declared bankruptcy. It's public knowledge that the person is in a very dire state and he's selling his field. So the Gemara there says that now you do need to make a transaction, but the rules of the transaction are eased, are much more lenient, specifically in regard to the fact that you do not need to transfer money. Again, I don't know all the exact details, but normally when you sell land, there must be at least a token payment for the transaction to occur. You write the shtar, and you have to give at least a down payment. Yeah, don't quote me in the exact details. But when a person is selling his field because he is in a dire state, you do not need a token payment. Just handing over the shtar is sufficient, and the money will come later on. The money will be owed. The legal transfer of the property is done just with the giving over of the document, even if there has not been any money transacted. So here, in this situation, is there any greater situation of a field being sold due to a dire situation? No, impossible. Because here, what is the story? The story over here is Hinei Hasodolois Bohoir. The enemy has come. The enemy has come and they're marching up the ramp. They're about to destroy the city. They hear about. So there's no greater situation when a person is selling a field in Mipnei Ra'asa than this situation. Hanamel is coming to Yirmiah and he says to Yirmiah, please buy the field. because it's worthless. Look what's going on outside. The sea is about to be conquered. Let me just liquidate my assets, whatever time I have left. So in this situation, you do not need money. In this situation, it's enough just to transfer the document and the money will be owed later on. Yet what did Hashem tell Yirmiyah to do? Not only should you write a shtar, you should give money also. What do you mean give money? Hashem Do'inu Adaf Gemara, himself Baba Basra, that if it's Bibnei Ra'asa, also, you don't need to give money, just give over the shtar as a loan. Hashem is saying no, it's not Bibnei Ra'asa. If you really have emuna that this land is going to be part of Klal Yisrael's forever, that it's going to be a geula, you're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, then it's not called Mibnei Ra'asa, and therefore indeed you need also to give money as well. So you go back to the Pasuk of Dal, Hinei Haselos Bohu'ir, Lulachta, Ru'ir Nidna Biad Kastim, Hanulchamo Lacham, Echer Vaharav Adarash, and because of these things, Vyashadibarto Hoya Vinchal Roya. So here in this Pasuk of Dal, we've expressed the concept that there is no greater Mibnei Ra'asa than what we are witnessing. And yet, Yirmiyah says, V'yato amartu elai, Hashem lukim k'nei lucha sodet b'kesef. And you're telling me I should use kesef? I don't need kesef in Mibnei Ra'asa. Mibnei Ra'asa, you only need shtar. You don't need to transfer any money. And v'ho'ed edim, and also shtar. This is ridiculous. But it's fafalim. It's too late. We need to be at kastim. It must then be, as the pasuk next to go on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Have emuna that is going to be a gula, and therefore it's not Mnei Rasa, and then you have nothing to worry about.
A story of a friend who now lives near Israel, but he bought a house near Israel, and he was visiting there, and he said, you're not living here. Why'd you buy a house? He said, can you imagine when Mashiach comes how much this house is going to be worth? So the guy started yelling at him. He came back, he asked Rav Epstein, he says, that's emuna.
That's right. My father, Zichron Levach, always, I don't know if you remember, there was a story that during the war, they raised money, they were trying to raise for the state of Israel. And they were selling bonds. I don't remember all the details. And they were also selling Israeli bonds. So no one wanted to buy the Israeli bonds, because the Israeli bonds, the cities, there's a war. There's a war, there's a possibility the whole state will collapse. There'll be no... And then there were some very high-value bonds. I don't remember whether they were from some country that was considered to be gold, considered to be, you know, the top of the line. And the end was, though that country went bankrupt, and Israel never has yet defaulted on its bonds. So, you don't know. Yeah?
That story, I think, is the one of Herzl's family.
So what is the story? Fill in the details.
People got together after Herzl died to give his family a parnassa.
Ah, okay.
And what they did is they bought Austrian bonds. Rather than
Israeli bonds.
Palestinian bonds at that point.
Okay.
Of course, we know Austria went under.
That was a story. Okay, so... And Israeli, the Palestinian bonds, the Israel bonds, that never defaulted. Okay, very good. Okay, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Yirmiyah. Pasuk Chava, Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Leimar. Hashem now speaks to Yirmiyah saying, Hinei Ani Hashem Elokei Kol Basar. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, what are you complaining to me about? You're complaining here, why did I ask you to buy the field when the city is about to be delivered in the hands of the kastim? There is nothing, Ani Hashem Elokei Kol Basar, Hamimeni Yipolei Kol Davar. Is there anything that is concealed from me? L'chein therefore, Koyama Hashem, Hinani Noisin Yazaz Biat HaKastim, it's correct. I will deliver the city in the hands of the kastim. Uviyad Divuchad Retzar, Melech Bovel, the king of Bovel, Ulichoda, and he will conquer it. Uvohu HaKastim Hanilcham Haloyer HaZois. And indeed, the kastim will come, who are fighting against the city, v'hitzisu esoir hazos. They will torch the city bo'esh, in fire, usirafuha, and they will burn it. V'es kol abotim asher kitu, and not only will they'll burn all of the homes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he injects, you deserve it, you should know, because upon all of these homes you offered avodah zara, v'es abotim asher kitu al gagoy sehen, all of the homes which you have offered incense upon their roofs, labal, v'sichu nisachim le'elohim achedim, you poured out libations to false gods, leman hachisen, you've done all of these things to anger me, ki hayu v'nei Yisrael v'nei Yehuda ach esim harab einai minu uroi sehem, because the Jewish people have done evil in my eyes from the time of their youth, ki b'nei Yisrael ach machisim, so the only thing they occupy themselves with is angering me, b'maseh yideihem ne'um Hashem, ki al ki al api v'al chamosi, it is through my anger and my wrath. Hoyseliho ir hazos, this city has been for me nothing but a source of frustration, anger, and wrath. Lemin hayom asher bonu oisa, from the time they built it, v'ad hayom hazeh, until this day, lahasiro me'al ponai, until finally I'll have relief to get rid of it from before me. Now, we don't go too many psukim at times, so let's first review over here the Musar. Quite a bit of Musar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Yirmiyah. Pasuk Chavav, in the Mitzudot Stavit. The pasuk begins. Pasuk Chavav, there is no Mitzudot, Pasuk Chav, Zayin. Kol Basar, Kol Habriyos. So says Hashem. Hashem says, I am the God of all basar ubrios. Hamimeni return the laymar. V'im amlam ani elokei ha'olam. If it's true that I am the God of the world, v'chiyia shum davar sheyia mechusen mimeni lebal ucha la'asoysoy. Is there anything that I cannot do? Ucha aymer af sheha'aretz nitna biyad hakastim. Even though the land is going to be delivered in the hand of the kastim, yikol mokon biyad biyadi lahachazira li Yisrael. It is in my hand to return it. Ulezet sivisi lecholik nois asodesh sheyia leois. It should be a sign. Ule remes shekein ese techasher yeomar be'in. As it will say explicitly at the very end of this response. Okay, you have to get back to the end of the response. List to psukim. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that point. So here he's building us. He's leading us in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here says that I created the world. I am aware of everything that occurs. I have complete power, and therefore it is within my power to restore the land to the Jewish people in the right time. Pasuk Chavches Lochein. Therefore, Hoyl Sins V'Akol Sheli. Everything belongs to me. Hinani Noisein. Ani Hu Hanoisnes Oir Hazos Biyad Hakastim. It is I who will deliver the hand, the city, and the Yad Kastim. V'Lo Yikhu B'Koyach Zeroyam. And it's not, they don't make a mistake and think that they are taking it in their own, with their own power. No one has power in this world. Only one who has power is Hashem. Hashem is the one that is delivering it. Pasuk Chavtes. Uvahu el toichu ir, v'el habotim, the kastim will enter into the city, into the homes, and they will torch the city, v'es habotim, af oisam yetzis bo'esh, and they will torture the homes, v'yisichu, all of the homes upon which you've offered Avodah Zarah, and upon which you have poured libations to Avodah Zarah, v'yisichu, sham al hagagois, l'man ha'chisini, the reason why you did these averos was to anger me, it was done l'hachis, ritzon lo'emar, Yoidim hayu she'ein bohem amish. The Jewish people were well aware that the Avodah Zarah was worthless. Aval asu l'man hichisuni. They did it to anger Hashem. Pasuk lamid af oisim hara. The only thing you do is evil. Ritzon lemar me'es she lekachtiv li l'am. From the time that I took the Jewish people to me as a nation, lo asu hatoy b'enai ki asu ach es hara. Pesel Micha. When they left Egypt holding in their possession Pesel Micha. Even though you will say it's not fair, it was only a small group. It was only people from Don that took Pesel Micha. The Erev Rav. So why is the entire Klal Yisrael here called guilty from the time? Tolerance. Tolerance. That's the greatest sin, the great indifference. Indifference, tolerance. When you see evil and you tolerate it, that's guilty, that makes the person guilty as well. Ach machisim, lo yisratzu elu b'maseh yideihem, ach machisim v'sibohem, you did not do what was pleasing these people b'maseh yideihem, ach machisim v'sibohem, the only thing you did was you angered me through your evil deeds. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, ki al api koimer hine ba'avur ma'aseim ha'yu ru'uyim bizman rav lo'hasir es ho'ir me'alponai hashkochasi. The truth is, me'alponai hashkochasi, the truth is that from time immemorial I should have already abandoned the city. Elo ho'yu al api v'al chamosi lehasira al ki o'ir hazos ho'yseli l'min ha'yom asher banu v'hu mikro mesus. You have to read the psukim backwards. So we'll go back to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We read it ki al api v'al chamosi choyseli oyazos lumin hayom asher banu oysa adayom hazeh. So first you read those words. You have to read the words of the pasuk and out of order. First it should say in the pasuk that the ir hazos choyseli ho'ir hazos lumin hayom asher banu oysa v'ad hayom hazeh. It was al api v'al chamosi. It was a source of anger, and that's why now la hasira mi'al ponai, I'm going to remove it from before me. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Okay, we didn't do this yet. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vasher Dibarto. We did that already. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Ha mimeni yipolei v'chi hasidos alumos mimeni. The future, is the future hidden from me? Of course not. Pasuk Lamed Aleph in Rashi. Lemin hayem asher banu oisab yom shehusat habayis noso. Now this we're going to just talk about. This is the big medrash. This is the big radak. And that is b'yom shehusat habayis noso shlomo espas paro. Now, that from the day that this city was established. Now, what's interesting is Beis Hamikdash. So, it's interesting. Medrash is that Rashi is considering the city being established with the building of the Beis Hamikdash. The building of the Beis Hamikdash took place 440 years after Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim was not selected; was not even conquered. Was not conquered until right before they built, right before the time of David. David from Aravna, he bought the field. And Shlomo did not build the Beis HaMikdash for a number of years. After Shlomo became the Melech, it was still a number of years until Shlomo, he built the Beis HaMikdash. So Yerushalayim, to some degree, was in the possession, in whatever form it was, two different cities, Shalom, Yeru, whatever it was somehow in the possession of Klal Yisrael at some point in time. The Jews were living in Eretz Yisrael for 440 years before the Beis HaMikdash was built. But this pasuk, according to Rashi, according to the Medrash, we do not consider the city of Yerushalayim to be established until the conclusion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What happened on the night of the Beis HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech married the daughter of Paro. Why did he marry the daughter of Paro? Paro at that time was the world superpower. It was a political marriage in order to consolidate the entire power of the world under his control. He married the daughter of Paro. The daughter of Paro comes with a price. Paro, who was the world superpower at that time, doesn't let you just take his daughter and do whatever you want. You have to treat her with nobility. And therefore, it was required, part of the deal, to make for her a celebration. And the Medrash says there were two celebrations taking place on the night, that night. The one in honor of the Beis HaMikdash, and another celebration across the other side of town was in honor of the daughter of Paro. The Chasna, also the Chasna, the daughter of Paro, was in her honor. And what were they doing there? They were dancing. They were dancing the dances of the Avodah Zarah. She was demonstrating to the people what they do in Mitzrayim, how they worship the Avodah Zarah. Shlomo HaMelech was aware, and he tolerated what took place. HaKadosh Baruch was furious here on the day when you were establishing the Beis HaMikdash. How dear do you tolerate Avodah Zarah? And that is why here the Pasuk says, Lemin Hayoim, from the day that the city has been Asher Bonu Oisa, that it has been built, referring specifically to that event. HaKadosh Baruch is furious. It's Alapi V'Al Chamosi, Simone Milsa. Whatever happens at the beginning of something is always a symbol for the entire event. And being that it got off to a bad start, the stain of what happened at that moment had an ill effect for the entire existence of the Beis HaMikdash. It's like Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we're obsessed with Simoni Milsa. Because if you're a good Simonim in the very beginning, this is the foundation for the entire year. If the Beis HaMikdash would get off on a good note, where there would be no Avodah Zarah, then it would have been good for Klal Yisrael. But that did not happen because of what Shlomo HaMelech tolerated. Now let's see the Radak. Radak elaborates upon this a little bit more, starting with Pasuk Chaf, Pasuk Pasuk, where are we up to in the Radak? Pasuk of Zayin. Hine hamimeni yipalei b'emes lo yipalei. There's nothing that is hidden from before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yodato sho'ir tinos b'yad ha-kastim. I am well aware that the city will be given to the kastim. Ki lo yishof api mehem. Ki rabu avoyno yisehem l'hachiseni. They have done many sins to anger me. V'yaf al pichein amarti l'cholik nes asod elios lochem l'chama she'yeshuvu me'agolus v'yiknu sodas ubatim b'eretz azos. And nevertheless, I have commanded you to buy fields in order that it should be a comfort to know that the day will come when you will return to this land. Pasuk Chav Tes V'yes Habotim K'moy Shenemar V'yes Kol Beis Gadol Sodaf Bo'esh Ki Hoyu Maktirim Al Habotim Hagadolim V'Hagvayim Al Gagoy Sen, because they would offer Ketores to Avodah Zarah on the roofs of their homes. minu uray sehem mimeinu urim vehem mimei hamidbar kamosh shepirashnu klal yisrael angered Hashem from the time of their youth, referring specifically to the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim when they took with them pesel micha in the midbar through the Yam Suf, and when they worshipped the eagle in the midbar, and the other 10 sins that they committed in the midbar. That's the Chesed Nurayach corresponding.
It's a hard to look at the Nurayach at the beginning of the Sefer. When is that? That goes back to Yitzias Mitzrayim.
The Nurayach. So there was a Chesed Nurayach, and then there was the sins of the Nurayach. You've angered me from the time of your youth. Ki hoy bnei Yisrael ki hema ki hema hechilu lachiseni techila. They began to anger me first. Viachakach bnei Yehuda. So he's asking, why did it say first the Yisrael? The Aseres Hashvatim started. Then comes bnei Yehuda v'tam ach la'ame sadavar. When it says ach here in the pasuk lamid, ach is coming to emphasize. Last week's parasha, you are certainly, certainly my bone and flesh. You have an ach l'sheker shamarti. Certainly, it's been false. V'adam lohem v'hoyisa ach sonech. Ach is now. Where is the difference between this? You can't ignore this. It's this week's parasha. V'yishoer ach noach. So it simply means ach means only to emphasize. Noach was the only one left. That is not a very positive thing in this pasuk, because Noach was held accountable. Why didn't he not influence people to do tshuva so that he should not be the only one left? Ach is an emphasis. Ach. But ach is also a mit. And what does Rashi say? Ach means he was moaning and groaning and spitting up blood due to the difficulty in feeding the animals. Okay, let's go to the next.
I think the Baal Turm, said that ach. There are two, it says Ach, and then
in
another Mi'at,
El Rabbis. He also was sick. He was holding on to the very end of the Teva. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, when Hayim Asher Banu Yisrael, Ki Bimei Shlomo Shabonu Esau Ir Vabayis, Heichel Lezboyach Bebamas. So the first problem was, he's saying over here another idea, we discussed many times, they brought Korbanos on the Bamos. I told you this idea a few times, I find it to be fascinating idea, one of the most fascinating ideas they ever came across in learning Yeshaya. And you have to see it inside to see that this is what I'm saying is correct. He wrenched over here that they angered Klal Yisrael by bringing bamos. If you go look at all of the Melachim in Sefer Melachim, when they die, it says they were good. It says by most of them they were good people, but there was one thing they didn't do. Ach loy hasiru habamos. They failed to remove the bamos. And that's like emphasized over and over again. There's almost an obsession with this concept that the kings were good, except one thing, he could not get rid of the bamos. There was one king though at the end, I think it was Yoshiyahu, he was the one that got rid of the bamos, if I'm not mistaken. So what's going on? What's going on in Sefer Melachim with the obsession with the bamos? They're good, they're tzaddikim gemurim, they were the greatest of the great. But the bamos, that wasn't their thing. So get rid of the bamos. If you're so good at getting rid of the zaras, so stop having them offer private korbanos in their backyards. So I saw this idea. I think in Rav Schwab he discussed this a little bit, and I think it's really in the Mitzudos, and it says it's a much, much deeper concept. And the simple reason explanation, as given in the art scroll, everyone says this, is that you have to pick your battles. You're going to tell them not to bring korbanos in their backyard. At least they're doing it l'shma. They're doing it l'shem shemayim. So pick your battles. Fight over the big things and don't fight with them over things which are at least being in the category of an avera that's being done l'shem shemayim. The zechiv karas. But it's still lishem shem shemayim, so that they did not want to start up with. It's like Rabbanim, are you allowed to read during davening the pamphlets that they distribute in the shuls? Absolutely not. Do you find Rabbanim making a war against people reading the pamphlets during Chazaras Hashatz in the Beis HaKnesses? You don't find. Why? Because Rabbanim pick their battles. There are more important things that have to be dealt with in the Beis HaKnesses than people violating the halacha and reading pamphlets during Torah pamphlets during Chazaras Hashatz. Rabbi Beryl once said, every Rav, when you retire from your Rabbanis, you have to make sure you still have some arrows in your quiver. Is that the right word? A quiver? We hold the arrows? Yeah. You have to have some arrows left in your quiver. In other words, don't shoot all your arrows off in your career as a rav. You have to know when to shoot your arrow off and when you should leave the arrow behind. Okay, that is the simple interpretation. The deeper interpretation is as follows. And this idea, we've said it before a few times, and it's kedai to repeat because it's such a powerful idea, and that is Yerushalayim, when they built the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and Shlomo established, he told the people, Rabbi Yisai, this is it. Ki lo yibosem el hamanucha v'el hanachla, we have now reached the final destination. The Beis HaMikdash is not going anywhere else. Now to us, of course, we're brainwashed, Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. But if you're living during that time, you are not convinced that this is necessarily the final destination. The pasuk says, "Where will it be?" L'shichnoi sidrishu uvasa shama. You will seek out the place of Hashem's final destination. Hashem will permanently rest His divine presence in a certain location, and where? It does not say anywhere in Chamishei Chumshei Torah Yerushalayim. All it says is, "Seek and find." So what happened? They were traveling the middle of 40 years. They come into Eretz Yisrael. Where did Hashem's Shechina, where did it rest? In Gilgal. For how many years? For 14 years. Then they moved to Shiloh. For how many years? 369 years. Then it traveled to Nov. Then it traveled to Givin for another 57 years. So now, David, HaMelech, decides to buy a land in this place called Yeru, which borders on the old city called Shalem. And he buys a field from Aravna, and he has a Navi, Nasan HaNavi, God HaChayza, and they make a decision that this is a good land. Okay, very good, we're going to go over here. But is this going to be the final resting place? No. Just like Gilgal was not the final resting place, just like Shiloh was not the final resting place, just like Noivi Givon, whoever said that Yerushalayim is meant to be the final resting place of Hashem Shechina, maybe Hashem will then go to Hebron for his final resting place. Maybe the permanent Beis HaMikdash will be built in Gaza. Maybe it'll be built in Tel Aviv. That's right. Who says? David, you're so sure, l'shichnoi sidrishu uvasa shama? Are you so sure? Are you really so sure? They were unable to convince Klal Yisrael that this is the final resting place. People in the back of their mind always had doubts. Yerushalayim is very nice, but it's not the end. There's more to it. And l'may nafkamina, if Yerushalayim is then not considered to be a Bama Gedoyla, and if it's not considered to be the Mikdash, you are allowed to have Bamois. The only time there is a prohibition of having a private Bama is when we have a central permanent location for the Beis HaMikdash. But if you don't have a permanent location for the Beis HaMikdash, then Bamos are mutter. So, Achabamos lo hesiru. All of the kings were unable to convince Klal Yisrael that the Beis HaMikdash has the status of the permanent resting place in Klal Yisrael to the degree where Bamos are now Osir. They said, you know, Yerushalayim is very nice, it's a very pretty city, it's a nice hill, everything is nice and fine, but it's not the final resting place, and therefore we're going to have private Bamos. Yoshiyahu, who was the first one that put in the mind of Klal Yisrael that this indeed is the final resting place. So here, if you take that idea and look in the Radak over here, you just inject it in the Radak, that's not what he says, is that Hashem was angry at Klal Yisrael from the very beginning when this city was established. What was Hashem angry about? So before we get into the story of Bas Paro, Hashem is angry. If this is the final resting place, what are you still building Bamos? It must be you're non-believers. You don't believe in the mission. You're all very nice and fun. You're coming to the dedication ceremony. You're building the basis, but you're not true believers. So that's what it says over here in the Radak. Let's see over here. The Apostle Amnav Lumin Hayem Asher Yibenu Oysa Ki Bimei Shlomo Shabbat Nesu Yir VaHabayis Hechelu Lizboyach babamos. They began to offer on the bamos. Unishay Shlomo. Then the second thing was asu leluhim achirim. Avdu leluhim achirim. The second sin was they offered karbanos to gods. Lemin hayom hahu hois al api v'al chamosi kolaymar hois kayemis al api v'al chamosi ki b'api choyel hasir. It was my anger to destroy it. V'arachti al api. Hashem says I held back my anger. Ad hayom hazeh, but v'loy aricho. There's only that much I can hold back. Uvidrash. B'yom shuhusar abayis nasa Shlomo espas paro. That was the day when he married the daughter of Paro. Pasuk lamed beis says univi ehem hanivim shalohem shehem nivi sheker. V'lomro. That's right. We did not yet do that. Okay, that's pasuk lamed beis. Now we'll have to wait in Yitzchem for tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop over here.